Hello, my name is Kevin Keith, and I'm honored to have a chance to contribute to this podcast. Today I'd like to talk about the common experience of being confronted with the non-skeptical beliefs of others and the dilemma of how to respond. Just this week, one of my coworkers died unexpectedly. He was a wonderful man and very well-liked. It was a shock to everybody when it happened. Today another coworker stopped by and remarked on how sad she was about his death. I told her I felt the same way and that it was a great loss. She said, "Well, he's in a better place." He's in a better place. I assumed she didn't mean that lying on a slab in a mortuary was better than being at work with us. I don't love my job, but it's not that bad. Of course, we all know what she meant. He's in heaven, wearing a pair of wings, strumming a harp, surrounded by choirs or something like that. And I had to decide how to respond. The skeptic in me wanted to say, "Well, you know, there's really no empirical evidence that human personalities survive death, or that there is any location where disembodied persons congregate in extracorporeal dimensions, and statistically there is no guarantee that that world would be better than this one." The atheist in me wanted to say, "That's just a traditional religious belief that has no grounding in fact and violates all known science." But Phil Plait tells me I can't be a dick anymore. And besides, I was kind of hoping I could get a date with this person, so I thought I ought to adopt a subtler approach. I finally said, "I hope so," which allowed me to avoid challenging her beliefs without completely misrepresenting my own. It wasn't exactly a cowardly and unprincipled lie. I mean, I do sort of hope that he's in a better place, even though I'm certain he's just dead. But when I said I hoped he was in a better place, she countered with, "Oh, I know he is." And there I was again. Do I accept this at face value, setting my own beliefs and rational comprehension at nothing? Or do I engage the factual premise of her supernatural beliefs and give up any hope of getting a date? I faced the issue squarely and said, "Oh, that's a pretty ring. What a nice pearl," thus diverting the conversation onto the topic of her jewelry and away from her belief in the afterlife. My logical skeptical analysis told me this was the safest tactical move. But I'm sure we've all faced similar dilemmas. It's a constant hassle living as a skeptic in a deeply unskeptical world, and one of the problems that keeps coming up is how to handle the situation in casual conversation of responding to others' assertions of unscientific or supernatural claims that they expect you to accept without question, but which you know can't stand up to skeptical analysis. Either you acquiesce in beliefs you don't really hold, and which may insult your intelligence or your values, or you challenge the personal beliefs of people who weren't expecting a debate and feel that they are entitled to hold their own beliefs and values. Either you're untrue to yourself or you're a jerk, and most of the time you wind up being both, like me. I have no perfect solution to this problem, and it's not unique to skeptics. The same issue comes up with people who hold to incompatible religions, political views, or other strong beliefs. We can call this the Thanksgiving problem. How to get along with people you disagree with in social situations where you can't choose your companions and you can't avoid hearing their ridiculous opinions, but you don't want to get into a fight. Though the problem is hard to resolve, it helps to recognize that not every expression of opinion comes with an invitation for you to criticize it. As a rough kind of categorization, it might be said that there are three types of clash between incompatible beliefs and three different ways of handling them. First, it's natural in some situations to critically engage others' opinions and subject them to skeptical analysis. Obviously, formal debates or discussions are intended to allow this, and many casual discussions, in which people bring up and defend their personal beliefs, are also appropriate venues for critical discussion and analysis. These are the kinds of informal debates over religion or politics or science that many people get into and often enjoy, and it's perfectly appropriate to take up the challenge in these cases. The same is true in situations where important policies or practices are up for discussion, and a skeptical analysis can contribute to a good outcome for the affected parties. Skeptics are always entitled to participate in the public sphere as much as anyone else, and should use their skeptical tools and insights to their fullest effect. There are other situations, however, in which people assert and act on beliefs that are very important to them, but which you do not have to agree with or participate in. In these situations, they may not be asking you to set your own beliefs aside or to adopt theirs, but they expect you to respect their beliefs and do not want them challenged, at least in that time and place. An example is the common situation where a member of one religion attends the religious services of another religion. The standard practice in these cases is for them to behave respectfully without participating in anything that would offend their own sensibilities. Skeptics can take a lesson from this and recognize that whether or not you agree with them, or even whether they are true or false, other people's opinions should be respected as an expression of those people's values, and that respect is sometimes of greater importance than the opportunity to debate and criticize their ideas. And finally, there are situations where people are merely reporting their beliefs, not asserting them as true for others. That is, where people are just telling you what they think, not asking you to agree, still less to analyze or criticize their statements. These are the kind of casual conversations in which people share personal information as a social act, not for the purpose of persuasion or proselytizing. It's not just rude, but a failure of social intelligence to respond to those kinds of social overtures as if they were invitations to debate. A better response is to acknowledge the other person's beliefs and appreciate their willingness to share them with you as a gesture of friendship. That, too, can sometimes be more important than the opportunity to prove that you're right. The key, I think, is to recognize that skeptics live in a crowded social environment just like everyone else, and that everyone has multiple values and priorities in their lives. For skeptics, this of course includes the value of relying on rational thought, grounded on justifiable, verifiable knowledge. And it can be frustrating that more people don't share or act on that value. But both skeptics and non-skeptics have other values as well, and it's part of a civilized society to respect and accommodate others' values as far as possible. However much we value skepticism, skeptics don't always have to be right, and they shouldn't imagine that that's the only value that deserves respect. Knowing when not to criticize irrational beliefs respects the value of social accommodation, and has to be balanced against the value of respect for truth and rationality. So how could I have respected myself as a skeptic while simultaneously not challenging my work friend's belief that our other friend was in heaven? Shakespeare demonstrated how to handle that situation. In his play Twelfth Night, there's a scene in which the court jester confronts Lady Olivia, whose brother has just died. The jester says to her, "Good Madonna, why mournest thou?" "Good fool, for my brother's death." "I think his soul is in hell, Madonna." "I know his soul is in heaven, fool." "The more fool, Madonna, to mourn for your brother's soul being in heaven. Take away the fool, gentlemen." I suspect he didn't get a date either.